Welcome to the Jack Mountain Bushcraft Podcast. We are here this evening talking about our upcoming winter trip, the Boreal Snowshoe Expedition. I am joined by Robert F. Ludlum and Yukon. Yukon is his Appalachian Trail name. And we're just going to have a little free-form discussion about our trip planning. And in addition to coming on the trail with Jack Mountain, these two have longer plans for winter expeditions this winter. So how are you guys doing today?
Doing great. Doing great, Tim. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you.
Yeah, Tim, it's a real pleasure to be here.
We're actually in my kitchen. We just ate dinner, so everybody's full and happy and warm, and we'll see if we can maintain that through the next several weeks. So we leave for our Boreal Snowshoe Expedition in 4 days. We hit the trail. So today we went over menu planning. We made up our shopping list. We're going to go out first thing in the morning to get all of our provisions for the trip. We went over gear. We went over things like traditional snowshoe bindings. We looked at sleds. We looked at tents. We're looking at stoves, just all the stuff. Winter camping, there's a ton of stuff that goes into it, much more so than warm weather camping. But, you know, we're just excited to hit the trail, and these guys have actually been busy preparing for much more than a two-week expedition. So, Robbie, can you tell me a little bit about what you're going to be doing after our two-week winter expedition?
Yep, after the 2 weeks, we're driving through Canada, about a 24-hour trip to get to northern Minnesota, the boundary waters up there. And we're going to be doing another snowshoe expedition for maybe between 2 and 4 weeks, maybe about 125 miles or so. And it's going to be great. There's not going to be anything out there except for the wilderness and a couple of dudes walking through the snow.
Awesome. It does sound great. I wish I was going with you guys, but I've got other plans, which people who follow the Jack Mountain stuff probably know about or will know about, of a Florida trip, an Everglades trip, and there'll be more about that coming soon. So Yukon, you've got an interesting experience this winter. After the fall semester course,
yep,
you got stumbled upon a great living opportunity. So what have you been doing for the last 2.5 months?
Yeah, well, following the fall semester at Jack Mountain Bushcraft, I was afforded the opportunity to move into a cabin out in the Adirondacks of upstate New York. It belongs to a friend of mine that I met on the Appalachian Trail who's a retired colonel, and it's pretty much his vacation home out there on 200-plus acres right inside the Adirondack Park, which is a total of 6 million acres of wilderness and forest. So,
and that's almost 10 million acres.
That's almost 10 million acres. So it was a great experience and a great opportunity to go out there and spend my interim period between the fall semester and the winter semester here. So I get to perfect some of the skills I learned back in the 9-week fall course, and also got to perfect some skills and study. And it was a great time, great place to spend my winter.
Awesome. You guys posted the two of you together posted a video a while back that we linked to, and we'll put it in the show notes for this podcast because it's pretty outstanding. And that was your first video. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I really enjoyed putting it together. It was just loads of fun to do. I'd never done anything like that before, and I spent hours on it, and I was really happy with it being my first video. And it was easy, and I really look forward to doing more, especially for this upcoming trip that we're doing in Maine.
Awesome. Yeah, hopefully we'll have some good. I've been saying for years, we're going to shoot way more video this year, and people who know me well are tired of hearing it because I say it all the time, and we just haven't done it yet. So for your Minnesota trip, you guys have been busy preparing foods and things. So what, like, walk me through, what are some of the preparations you've been making for that?
I have been dehydrating food like crazy every night. I went out, I bought a dehydrator. I had two running at one time. I had a mandolin, and the kind that you cut with, not the kind that you play songs with. And It's been nonstop, and I've been dehydrating all sorts of food because most of your food is water. So if you can get rid of that, you're getting rid of a lot of weight. And you can dehydrate anything: cucumbers, parsnips, strawberries, bananas, apples. I think I've dehydrated squash. That's what we say back home. I think I've dehydrated well over 100 pounds of food. And it all fits in this tiny box, and it's crazy how many servings of food that we have inside this little box. So it's been a really cool process, and the fact that it's not just like we're going out to the store and we're just picking some stuff up. I'm like really having to think about this trip like every day and count how many veggie servings we have and fruit servings and meat servings when I'm doing jerky and stuff like that. So I feel a little bit more connected to this trip than I have other expeditions in the past.
And it's amazing how much of your grocery dollar buys water that's easily evaporated, isn't it?
Never even thought of that.
We also get a lot of venison jerky out of it. Robbie dehydrated probably about half of the deer that I harvested back in November when I first got to the New York cabin. I got an out-of-state hunting license, and I went out and spent 10 days before I harvested a 5-point buck so I could supplement my meals with some meat. That was right from the land, so that was a cool experience.
The story's way better, Yukon, if you claim that you harvested it illegally, just regardless of what actually happened. It's a better story if you were out there at night and did it illegally. But, you know, that didn't happen. But, you know,
just of course it didn't happen.
Next time, if we record this again, if we do a take two.
Well, Tim, you're absolutely right. Would make for a much more interesting story. But it was a great experience being able to harvest the first deer of my life all by myself and process the whole thing. And half of the meat got to go to making venison jerky. And it's a great meat to make jerky with because it's so lean and there's no fat.
Yeah, awesome. So if you were a rap music DJ, you would have two turntables and one microphone. But since you're going on a winter snowshoe expedition, two dehydrators, one mandolin food slicer.
Yes.
Is that accurate?
That's entirely accurate.
Yes. That's priceless.
So, we're going to meet one other member of our party is coming in tonight. We're going to meet the other guys on Sunday, and then our happy troop of snowshoers, we're going to hit the North Main Woods on Sunday, and we'll be out for 2 weeks. The first leg of our journey will be on one or two big lakes that are open to ice fishing, so we're looking forward to getting out and catching some big fish. We're going to be traveling by snowshoe and hauling our gear on toboggans and sleds and setting up canvas tents with wood stoves and living like that for 2 weeks. And you know, we're really... Excuse me, we're really looking forward to it. And I think for these two guys, it'll be just an amazing winter having Maine and Minnesota in one fell swoop. I've been trying to get out to the Boundary Waters for probably 20 years. And, you know, you guys are just going to jump in the car and do it. So,
yeah,
thanks for rubbing my nose in it, boys.
No problem. We'll document it. We'll document it really well, and you can live vicariously through our story.
Awesome. Today we were working on snowshoe bindings and things and
went for a walk.
Went for a nice walk around here in New Hampshire and a ski out on the lake. And we're just busily preparing. One of the big philosophical aspects of winter travel, winter trips, is to avoid the idea of rushing and to avoid the idea of busyness. So, we're going to be working on that as we go, but there is a lot of downtime on winter trips. The days are shorter. We get out there, you do your chores, and you move during the day, and then it gets dark early, and you've got a lot of downtime to just sort of chill out. And, you know, it's one of those things that if you need to be constantly entertained and have to have 80 cable channels and a 54-inch HD TV, it's probably not the greatest of... greatest of things for you to do. But if you're happy, you know, watching the fire and even watching the fire through the damper of the stove and listening to the fire and listening to the wind and getting out and snowshoeing and tracking the mammals, it's a beautiful thing. So
wait, we're not going to have cable TV out there?
No, we will, but it's only a 37-inch TV because that's the only one that'll fit on the toboggan.
Well, I might have to rethink this.
No, but we're just super excited to get out there, and we're having a lot of fun here now. One of the really cool things about the year-long program is you make such good friends with people in the fall semester or the spring semester, and then you just can't wait for the expeditions to come around so you can get the gang back together again. And you know, I really have a feeling of the gang being back together again, or at least starting to get back together again tonight. And we're just I'm just super excited about the trip. So I guess that's all we've got tonight, but thank you for listening. Thank you guys for being good sports.
Yeah, Tim, thanks for having us. Really appreciate you opening up your home out here in Lake Winnipesaukee for
We're not actually on Lake Winnipesaukee.
Oh, well,
Rust Pond.
It's got a beautiful area, and you got a beautiful home, and I appreciate you inviting us out here.
Yeah, it's okay.